CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Hey, this is the time we set aside answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it really God's word or the traditions of men? Well, you better know your Bible, otherwise you might find yourself doing a lot of really kooky stuff in the name of God. So, again, we set this time aside to help you understand what God's word truly says. And so if you got a question you'd like to ask us, hey, we'll do our very best to answer that for you. Joining me today, special guest we have with us, John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente. Hi and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be back here with you on this Tuesday. And thanks for calling me a special guest. I feel like just blessed to be here with you, and so thankful for the opportunity to be a part of the CSN family, and be able to be here just for a little bit on Tuesdays and just talk about what the Bible says and why we believe what we believe, and talk with people all over the country.
Yeah, and what's going on? And you just finished up Pregnancy Hotline, and the stories that are coming out of that, John, are amazing. Tell us about just some of those, because they're so spirit-led is what I really like.
Yeah, I love the fact we're involved in what's called the Pregnancy Resource Center here in our town in San Clemente, and we had a gala, which is something that they do once a year. They host it at a hotel, and it gives people an opportunity to hear about the ministry and also to pray about whether they would like to be a part of it and to support it. And it was pretty amazing because we have one location in San Clemente, but we just opened the second location now in Mission Viejo. And the good thing, Mike, about this location is it's directly across the street from Planned Parenthood. We're hoping Planned Parenthood goes out of business. But here's what happened. There was a young couple who was driving on the freeway in traffic. They were high schoolers. They found out they were pregnant. They were 17 years old. And when they were driving on the freeway headed to Planned Parenthood, there was a woman in traffic who saw these kids driving and felt like the Lord said, follow that couple. And so she followed them, and turns out they went to Planned Parenthood. When they were getting out of the car, the woman stopped them and said, listen, God has a plan. Don't let go of that baby. God wants you to give birth to this baby, and I want to tell you about the Pregnancy Resource Center. Well, that young couple, in their 17-year-old couple, went to the Pregnancy Resource Center, saw that baby on the ultrasound, and decided to keep the baby and gave their lives back to Christ. This young man, 17 years old, got up and gave a testimony that night of what God had done, and their baby has been spared, and it was just a miracle. Mike, we've seen over 450 babies who've been saved through the ministry of PRC. So it was a really exciting weekend for us.
Wow, so incredible how God works. And moving on that lady to follow that car. Yeah. Isn't that amazing how God does that? And, you know, really being a Christian, again, for everybody, it's more than just heaven when we die, but it's being led by the Spirit now. And I think so many people don't realize that. And so, you know, it's who you yield yourself to each and every day, how you're going to live your life, I think is what's really important. So, you know, it's really great to see that. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. And got some lines open. You can join us. And so we look forward to that. Let's go to Darren, Austin, Texas. Hi and welcome.
Hi. Yes, hi. I had a question. I am in a prayer group at my church that I like a lot. There's only four of us. And they're basically in their 60s. And you can tell that they've spent most of their lives watching CNN and mainstream media because they hate Trump and they vote Democratic. They do acknowledge that abortion's wrong, but they think that they should vote Democratic anyways to save the country. And I know that's from the media. And And also, too, they're not pro-Israel. They're not pro-Jewish. And that really upsets me because all this is in the Bible. But they're great Christians. I consider them better Christians than me because they witness to other people. They study the Lord's word way more than me. And I don't know, like, how to handle this because like, you know, when we're praying to the Lord, what's he thinking, you know? And like, should I stop going to the prayer group? I don't know. Like, it just really bothers me on one hand. But on the other hand, I really like having a prayer group because the Bible says where two more gather, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, you know, with that, I think you just have to kind of be spirit-led on that. My problems with the Democratic Party go far, far, far beyond abortion. I don't find any biblical thing that they follow, from butchering up children, the transgender, the whole Rainbow Coalition, the LGBTQ, XPRT, MSNBC, whatever you want to add on those. They got a whole bunch of letters now. Whatever it is, I just have such a terrible problem with everything. The Bible clearly says, I'll bless those that bless these, I'll curse those that curse thee, coming regarding the nation of Israel. We find the corruption in the Democratic Party into the stratosphere, whether you look at Minnesota, California. I talked about this just briefly yesterday, but the billions of dollars that are missing for this bullet train from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, only a mile or so has even started. Billions of dollars are gone. And where's the billions of dollars to rebuild Altadena and the fires that happened the first part of this year? No one knows. They haven't built any houses. It's just a staggering that the corruption that goes on. And then if you try to investigate it in this party, well, then you're prejudiced or something else. And we see this rampant in Minnesota right now. It's terrible. You see where if you carry a sign in front of an abortion clinic, you'll go to prison for 10 years. But you can firebomb a church and nothing seems to happen. These are the problems that I have. And when we look at the general stand of the Democratic Party, I don't find anything that represents Christianity at all. And the sanctity of life, my friends, is the capital crown. The only voice those poor little unborn babies have is ours. And when you squelch them or whatever, that to me, we can debate whether we want to open a health food store or maybe a government-supported store. We can debate that. I'm not opposed to that either way. But what I am saying is when it comes to life, and that comes from God, and you support a party that enjoys slaughtering children, I think there's going to be some, Lucy, you got some answering to do on Judgment Day, because I'll tell you, that isn't good. Your thoughts, John?
I think I just wanted to comment, if I may, Darren, on your question concerning should I continue in this prayer meeting if we are not aligned with one another. I think that is something to really take before the Lord.
Amen.
And there's other prayer groups that you can get involved with. I would have a hard time sitting in a prayer group knowing that that's where the hearts of the people were at. The scripture that comes to mind that I thought was the book of Amos chapter 3, where the question is asked by the prophet, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And the answer to that question is no, they can't. And so I want to, if I'm praying in the name of Jesus and I want to be united in prayer, I would say in that case, I don't think that we're on the same page. There's not an alignment of values and an alignment of how are we going to agree in prayer on these things. And to say I am not for abortion and yet I vote Democrat is hypocrisy. I
mean,
that's exactly that's an oxymoron. That's what they stand for. So I would question that, and so I would just pray that the Lord would lead you. I appreciate the fact that you desire to pray and pray in a group. I do believe that that is important, but I think it's also important to pray with those who you're in alignment with, who are on the same page with you. And then you can actually agree on things being done in prayer. And so that would be my encouragement to you, Darren. I appreciate the question.
Yeah, I do too, because it is hard. But I think the pinnacle of everything is life. Number two, I would invite you in your Bible study before you leave, just say, let's read Romans chapter 1. Let's look where the Democratic stand is on homosexuality. And then let's look at what the Bible says, what God says about it. It isn't me. It isn't our culture. It isn't 21st century America or what the European Union thinks. It was what the Bible says. And when you stand for a party that is openly doing this, again, when Barack Obama was at Saddleback Church, Rick Warren's church, I watched him in person. The question was asked, do you believe marriage is between a man and a woman? And Barack Obama said, oh, yes, that is what I believe. And the crowd went wild. And they're clapping. The problem is, as soon as he got elected, he put Supreme Court justices on the bench that allowed for homosexual marriage. Well, he just made some bad choices there with the judges. No, I'm sorry, everybody. He lit the White House in rainbow colors that day, really thumbing his nose at all of the Americans that voted for him, that believed he was somewhat sane in his thinking of what marriage is. I have a lot of trouble with that because, again, it was not honest. He lied to the American public on that day. You can get it. Go look it up. Just don't believe me. Don't believe what you hear from the liberal news media. Go watch the Saddleback Church, the debate between the presidential candidates at Saddleback Church with President Obama, and watch what he says about gay marriage. And then he lights the White House with gay colors, with rainbow colors, when the Supreme Court said, oh, yes, gay marriage is good. I mean, read Romans chapter 1, friends. There is no wiggle room here, none. I'm sorry. You know, again, read Romans 1, and then you tell me how you can get around that. Then read that before King David said, you formed me in my mother's womb. Well, they call it a venereal disease. They call it a fetal mass. They call it a tumor. No, it's a real human being that God put on this earth. And when we have people in positions of authority saying murder of children is okay, there is no way ever I could support any organization, group, or political party that thinks that behavior is okay. Friends, that's what the Bible says. I know the Bible doesn't have much to do with Christianity anymore, but you know, if you really look at it, it's what it says. And then read Romans 1. I think that's going to really help you. Read the promises made to Abraham about the nation of Israel, and I'll bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse thee. You see, we have anti-Semitism running through, and the Democratic Party is the party of anti-Semitism. They're the ones that support the anti-Semites everywhere. Friends, it's fact. And so when we look at this, we have to really look, where am I going to stand in the days to come? Well, the European Union now is bringing sanctions on all the settlers in the West Bank. I read about it last night. The occupied territory, as they call it. Friends, it's not occupied. It belongs to Israel. You see, in the 67 war, the Arab neighbors got together and decided from the mountains to the sea, scrape them off. And what's really amazing is Israel won that war. Well, they called a ceasefire before it was actually over, but they won that land. And Israel didn't give it back. You see, when you start a war and you lose land. Somebody please explain this to the European Union, because for some reason, the trains don't run through the station like they should. You know, if it wasn't for the United States, all the European Union would be speaking German right now. That's right, America. England was done when America really got into the battle. And if it wasn't for the United States, all of Europe would be German. Now, the point is simply this. For some reason, the European Union doesn't understand this. And so when you're putting pressure on Israel to give up land that they paid for with Israeli blood, their soldiers were attacked. The nation of Israel was attacked. Remember, even in October 7th, Hamas has never yet, oh, we have a ceasefire, oh, peace at last. No, no, no. Hamas has never surrendered to Israel yet. These ceasefires that we keep having, whether it's with the United States and Iran, whether it's with Israel and Hamas, whether it's with Israel and any of the other hostile Arab neighbors, you have to remember something. It just kicks the can down the road. Because the only reason they call for a ceasefire is they are losing so bad, and the only way they can save any face is to say, oh, ceasefire. Well, the war was never won then. And so then you start a war and you lose, you call a ceasefire, and you get to keep everything you started with. Well, friends, that's not the way it works. And this is the great problem right now that the United States is having with Iran. See, we have to understand the mentality. Islam is global conquest. It is not just another religion like Christianity or Buddhism or Shintoism. No, it is global conquest. Read the Quran. That's what it's all about. And it's okay to lie to the infidels. That's all of us, to get whatever you want. So yeah, make a peace treaty. Promise them the moon. It's okay to lie to them, because the ultimate goal is global conquest. You say, well, what does that entail? Sharia law established everywhere. Now, again, remember, they go out, pick up all these stray groups, you know, the LGBT gang and all those. But when they take over, they go back through, and all those that don't line up with the Quran are executed. Yep, you got to understand, Chop Chop Square in Mecca is not a place that you want to be. And so I think people don't understand really what this is really about. But friends, it is global conquest to reestablish the caliphate, where the Arab nations were taking over the world. And they were stopped there in Europe by a miracle. So understanding this helps us. And when we have a political party that digs in deep and says, oh no, we're supporting every foul thing, every criminal act, every gang, you have real problems. Again, read Romans chapter 1. Darren, that's going to help you in understanding what you're really up against. Because I believe, friends, I want your opinion on this. John, I believe it's a spirit. Your thoughts.
You mean on Islam? Is that what you're referring
no,
to?
No, on everything where you believe that slaughtering babies is okay, that chopping up your little children they're doing in California, with the high priest of Gavin Newsom approving these kinds of measures, Democrat in California, to chop your children up. They'll never have an orgasm in their life. They'll never have babies ever in their life. They are just butchering them, and they sit back and applaud this. Oh, isn't this freedom? Isn't this saving America? No, it's destroying your nation. And you know, it's about time we as Christians stand up and say enough's enough. Because friends, when we look and see what these people are doing, read what God destroys nations over. Homosexuality is one of them. Again, read Genesis, read Romans 1. Any political party that stands for this kind of stuff, there is something deeply spiritual. I don't care how well you exegete the book of Numbers or the book of Isaiah. When it comes to these life and death issues, what God destroys nations over, you have got to say, hey, wait a minute. Something here is horribly wrong. And I believe it's an evil spirit Your thoughts?
Oh, I certainly believe that it's demonic and it's the devil's behind it. I mean, the Bible tells us that the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one and that he has blinded their eyes lest they come to the truth. And I think as we get closer to the return of the Lord, I think we're going to see even more of this. The Bible tells us that in the last days, these things would take place, and it's important for us to stand for life. And we're not saying here today that, oh, the Republican Party is perfect.
Oh, no, no, I'm not saying that at all.
No, no one's suggesting that. There's whenever there's humans involved in government, there's a problem. We're waiting for the day when the Lord's kingdom is going to come and be done on earth as it is in heaven. But until that time, we want to vote as close as we can biblically. And when you have at a Democratic National Convention where they have vans that are set up providing medical abortions, vasectomies, and emergency contraceptives, you realize this is what the party's about. And I think that's what we want to avoid. I know that's a long answer, Darren, to what you asked about the prayer meeting, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of clarity there.
Yeah. And again, as you said earlier, how can two agree unless they walk together unless they agree? Mm-hmm. And the Bible says in the last days, what is evil, they'll call good, and yeah. what is good, they will call evil. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has any kind of morality, anybody that has any kind of sense of you know, you're responsible for your actions is it's all everybody else's fault that I'm the way I am. And this is why they release the criminals back out on the streets as fast as the poor old police can bring them into the courts. This is what it is. Well, it's really not their fault. The Bible says it is. It's written on man's heart what is right and wrong. And you know, when you steal and lie and cheat and all those things, you know what's wrong. Doesn't matter whether a judge says it's okay or not. You know what's wrong in your heart. And that's where it goes. Darren, I hope that helps.
Yes, I agree. I was just scared I was being legalistic because they are like outside of what voting in the Israel issue. They're great Christians. They witness to other people. They study the Bible more than me. And so I thought maybe I could be making the Lord mad by judging or, you know, being critical or being legalistic.
Well, I don't think so. I you know, next time you get together, just say, hey, you know, I know where you guys stand. Let's do a little Bible study in Romans chapter 1 and ask him about it. And, you know, the political party that says, oh, no, you're not what you were born with. Your XY chromosomes, X, whatever it is, that don't mean anything. It's how you feel. And when a political party says, oh, yeah, a man can put a dress on and now he's a woman and compete in women's sports and steal all their scholarships, and a political party sets back, which they do, and applaud that. We're not just talking, we're talking mental illness here. If I think I'm a woman, I'm a woman. If I put a dress on, that makes me a girl. Well, that's what they're saying. And how dare you say that they're not? You're discriminating. We need to save the nation against discrimination. If a person feels like a girl, they're a girl, even if they're a boy. And for that matter, if you feel like a dog, you can use the litter box in the bathrooms now in many of the college campuses in America. I had a friend that was one of his jobs was to build sandboxes and put them in the bathrooms in a college so those that identify with furries can go in the box. Friends, I'm serious. I wish I was kidding. And when you have a political party that sets back and says, oh, this is normal, this is good, I can tell you, friends, we ain't long for a nation. I know that. Darren, I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, God bless you. And again, stand up for God's word, not just the words we like. You know, this is the problem. I think, John, is that people... they like God's word like a smorgasbord. Your thoughts?
Well, I think just to Darren's point that there is a difference between being critical and being discerning. And God gives us discernment as we look at his word and we take everything that we hear or we see and we run it through the lens and the grid, if you would, of truth. And so it's not critical, Darren, to look at something and realize, hey, this doesn't seem right. And whether they seem to be further in their faith, they've known the Lord longer, and yet they're doing things or believing things that are contrary to the Word of God, you're not being critical, friend. You're being discerning. And that is something that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. So I hope that that would encourage you. And folks, there is a difference. I'm not being critical. I'm not judging to condemnation, but I am judging fruit. I am able to discern. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And that's what we're seeing, Mike, in these kinds of situations.
Yeah. And so again, you know, we're going to get the government, unfortunately, that we deserve. And I don't say that with much sparkle in my eye. I think we're in real trouble. And I really believe that, again, we just need to pray about everything. You know, what makes America different than other nations is they're ran by kings. You have no say. China, as an example, the People's Republic of China, where the people have nothing to do with their government. Isn't that amazing that they put that in their thing? The democratic people of North Korea. Wow. And the people, if you dissent against the leader, you're executed. Mm. Wow. You know, has nothing to do with that. There's not much you can do there. But in America, where we vote for the people that govern us, we need to find people as close to God's word as we can. And I just don't see it at all. And so, like I say, be glad to talk to anybody about that, because I'm really, really concerned, because people for some reason make that disconnect, and you can't, because this is why our nation is in the terrible shape that it's in. Mm-hmm. There's not one president, Trump or anybody else, that's going to come along and fix all of this. Because it's been on the wrong path for a long time. But I believe that we as Christians, if we will, like in the National Day of Prayer, call on God, humble ourselves and pray, God will heal our land. Coming up on a break, 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. We'll be right back. Ready.
Over the past 25 years, total charitable giving to Christian causes has exploded from around $250 million a year to over $1 trillion. But here's the problem. Most of that money moves from wealthy Christians back to other Christians. Less than 1% ever reaches the world's poorest lost, the very people where a single dollar can change an eternity. That's where ROIMinistry.org comes in. ROIMinistry.org publishes an annual top 10 list of the most impactful ministries, so you know you're getting a good return on your investment for the kingdom. To see that free report, go to ROIMinistry.org. It'll be right there on the homepage, so you can know how you can best serve the kingdom.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true. People are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $8 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network, so yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE, 855-91-BIBLE.
Welcome me back to part two of Every Man Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon. Very provocative last question. I apologize because I don't really like to get political. I really don't. But I do realize that much of, I believe, God's judgment coming on America will be because of these very things that we've been talking about. Abortion, homosexuality. These are the things the Bible says that God judges a nation over. And that's the only reason I even bring it up at all. Because, again, we're not talking, well, should we have state-run stores or whatever? We're not talking about that. We're talking about where we as the people make our decisions, who's going to govern us. And they're so far outside of what the Word of God says is acceptable to God. And then I find Christians that applaud this kind of behavior. John, to me, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I do believe, sign of the times. And I think as we mentioned earlier, as we get closer to the return of the Lord, certainly we see so many warnings concerning these things that become prophetic passages that point to a day when men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure, and they will love darkness rather than light. They will turn to it. They'll heap up for themselves teachers, Paul tells Timothy. And when we are in the midst of that, I think as believers, there's two responses, or maybe more, that you could have. One is you can get discouraged. That is, if you look at what's going on, you can allow it to drag you down. If you get glued to the Instagram algorithm, if you get glued to the news, it's rare that you're going to ever see, hey, we have some good news for you. You won't find it. I mean, it's always bad news. Something's going on. And if you it's one thing to be aware of what's going on. It's another thing to be enveloped by it. We have to take our eyes off of what is only temporal, and we need to fix our eyes on things that are above. The Bible says to set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated. So we have to have this eternal perspective, this mentality of we're here to occupy, we're here to make a difference until the Lord calls us home. And we need to overcome darkness with light. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. We're like a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. You don't get a lamp and bring it home and place it under your bedside. You actually put it in a place where it can be seen. And so, Mike, this is, as dark as it is, this is a tremendous opportunity for the church to be the light that it's called to be. And I think that's important for us.
I do. I believe that. And it's so important in the days we're in to let your light shine. Because again, you know, I think what we're seeing is a post-Christian era now in America, where the Bible is the anvil. It's the absolute. And people are trying to change God's word to fit the culture, rather than Christians trying to change the culture to fit God's word. Isn't that amazing, the difference? Because what we're guided by today is our feelings, our emotions. How does it feel? Well, you know, somebody said one time, feelings are neither right nor wrong. They're just there. Well, that's true, because I think a lot of times when we go by our feelings rather than fact, that's why the Bible says to bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ, because our feelings can lie to us. Our feelings can tell us, yeah, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, you know, kind of thing. And I think that this is a dangerous place, because we begin to believe those feelings rather than what God says in his word. And so we then apply that into the spiritual realm. Well, I don't feel that, you know, I mean, this Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. That seems so narrow-minded, John. I mean, you know, as long as a person's a good person and they have warm fuzzies about, I mean, even crystals, I mean, isn't that good enough to get him to heaven? I mean, after all, who are we to judge?
Right. I think a lot of people would ask those kinds of questions. And I think you have to go back to the truth, and you have to go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, as you mentioned, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus didn't only make those claims, but he also proved his ability to make those claims by dying on the cross and then also rising from the dead. And that sets Jesus apart. And so when it comes to Jesus and the things that he said, you cannot remain neutral. You have to actually reason through these things. You can't just say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to. No, if going to heaven by being a good person was acceptable, then why the cross? There was really no need. It was unnecessary. But God knew that we were separated from him, and being holy and just, that sin deserves wrath and judgment. And yet Jesus went and took our place, took the wrath, took the judgment upon himself in order that we could be saved.
And I think that is so important that we understand that. So it isn't narrow-minded fundamentalism from the Victorian age. It's what the Bible says is acceptable to God. And see, that's why the Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the way, narrow the road that goes to heaven. Few there be that find it. You know, even the world understood that. Years ago, Led Zeppelin wrote a song called Stairway to Heaven. Another rock band wrote the song Highway to Hell. Maybe they were anticipating the travel on both roads. Something to think about. Mary asked the question in Tennessee. My church is full of habitual sin. My pastor is good, but nobody acts the way they should. Should I leave the church? John, your thoughts.
Well, someone once told me, Mary, that if I found a perfect church, I shouldn't go there because I would probably spoil it. The point being that the church is actually full of sinners. And the Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that there's none righteous. So all of us fall short. And I think if the pastor's good, as you said, and he's teaching the word of God and he's seeking to instruct the people, then God can do a work through his word. And there's, you can go to any church and you'll find people who are engaged in some habitual sin. As you mentioned, you just need to stay there long enough and eventually you find out. So I think if I was in that situation, I would be more concerned about where's my relationship with Jesus and where am I at with him, and what does my life look like in relation to him? And be careful of, and I'm not suggesting that you're doing this, but I would say I would be careful of comparison. There's a real danger in that. When you begin to compare yourself to others, one of two things can happen. One, you can be elevated in pride and think, wow, those people, they are sinners. I can't believe that. How could they ever do that? Or you could be humbled and discouraged when you find people that, wow, they are really righteous and I am not. Don't compare yourself. If you're going to compare yourself, or at least attempt, compare yourself to Jesus. And here's what you'll find. We're all in the same place. We all need Christ. We all need his grace. So I'm not sure. I'm sure there's more details to that, but I would encourage you, if God hasn't told you to leave the church, then don't leave. If he's told you to, then listen to him. And I think that's what's most important, Mike.
You know, John, I remember back in the tent days at Calvary Costa Mesa, I was there and, you know, people were coming in off the street. They were shacked up with their boyfriends and their girlfriends, mm-hmm. and God only knows all the stuff that was going on in their life. And I think a lot of them at first, when they heard the message that God loved them, that Jesus died for them, I think that really changed their life. And then you begin to see the sins fall off as they grow and mature in the Lord. I've often said that churches are really hospitals, not Christians on parade. And I think we have to be aware of that. Now, if people are openly practicing sin in the church, that's a different thing. Paul clearly addresses this with a fellow that was making some kind of moves on his stepmother. And Paul said, you're sitting there tolerating this guy. Put him out of the church. Turn him over to the Satan. Well, why is that? Because what he was doing was stumbling people within the church there at Corinth. So I believe that we have to be careful, because I want people that are wrestling with sin. I want people that are sinners to come to church, to hear the message of the gospel, to be around real people that love God, that they're going to grow and mature, and these sins like old scabs and cancer fall off. I want to be careful, because I don't come to see perfect Christians. I come to see a risen Savior. And I think a lot of times that is what I think really ignited the revival of the late 60s and early 70s was not focusing upon people's sin, but rather focusing upon the Lordship of Jesus Christ that can deliver us from those sins. Because the one thing I've always talked to people that have been involved in different habits and lifestyles and stuff, they're not happy. They're just not happy. There's something that isn't fulfilling, that everything, the media, everything, oh, you do that, you're going to be happy. And you do it and you're not happy. And then Jesus comes and satisfies that longing. And these things that we've been trying to make us happy fall off. And for some, it seems, John, that it falls off quicker for others than for others. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we're all in the process of sanctification, and that, you know, salvation, it has been said, is the miracle of a moment. But sanctification, where we become more like Jesus, is the process of a lifetime. Some things change overnight. Other things change over time. We're all growing. As I look over my life and walking with the Lord, I am not the same man who gave his life to Christ over 30 years ago. Praise God. But I also realize there's more to go. There's still things in my life that need to continually be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so we continue to mature and grow. And I think God is patient with us. And I believe that it's also important for us to be patient with other people. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, let's face it, we would be in that same situation that person is in, that we see entangled, ensnared, or we were, or we would be, if it wasn't for God's grace. And that really helps me, Mike, when it comes to ministering to people who are caught in something. I realize, boy, God can deliver you. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I could be right there. And that helps me to be able to minister with grace and truth.
Well, the woman at the well that Jesus approached, she didn't condemn her. He said, look, you know, you've been married, you've had five men, and the one you're living with is not your own. Right. And she goes, whoa, I perceive you're a prophet. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought that was kind of it. But Jesus didn't condemn her. Mm-hmm. He just simply brought to light these very issues that I think were very close and troubling in our own soul. And that's what God does, not to point out problems, but to be the solution to those problems is so important. Mm-hmm. To the phones we go. Gloria, Las Vegas, hi, welcome.
Georgia.
Georgia, yes. Hello? Yes, okay. Georgia in Las Vegas, hi.
Yes, hi, Pastor Mike. Okay, I just want to know, I listen to you every day almost for years, but I want to know I feel like I don't know what to do in this situation because I need to move in like a month. And my daughter, she says she's saved. And I know when she was young, I brought them up in church and she received Jesus. But she married a woman. And she have a house and she want me to move in it, you know, and she's going to move out and get another place. But I want to know if it's God's will for me to move there, you know, live there. And she's going to live in her and her, I call her friend because the young woman is my friend too. But I pray for them, for them to be, you know, delivered. But I just want to know, is it right for me to move in their house and rent their house? And I would like for you to pray for my daughter and her friend. I call her
friend. Well, we certainly will. And you know, I can tell by your voice, dear, that you want to please God and at the same time you want to minister to your daughter. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a really tough question to answer. One passage that comes to mind, Georgia, and is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, where the Apostle Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. He said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Obviously, you know, and you know that the Bible says that a marriage relationship is between a man and a woman. That is God's design from the very beginning. Anything outside of that, a woman and a woman, a man and a man, God doesn't recognize that as a marriage. The world might, a court might, a state might, but God doesn't. So you know what you're dealing with. And I think that that's important. The question then becomes, do I feel a peace about moving into this house, even though my daughter is not there? I'm renting from her as opposed to, and she's not going to live with me. And that's a, it is a very, a really good question to ask. And I think the Holy Spirit's the only one that can reveal that. I don't think it's a cut and dry question. I'm trying to ask myself, would I do that? And what my, because this is the perspective I'm giving you. And I think if it was me and that was my son or my daughter, I probably would struggle with doing that. And I would, it's not that I don't love them. It's not that I don't care about them, but I probably would have a difficult time moving into that situation myself. And that, Mike, that's my perspective. I'm not saying that's everybody's perspective, but I think with the biblical conviction that I have and being aware of it, I don't know that I could move into that situation. I can't say chapter and verse necessarily, but I would definitely pray and ask for wisdom. And for me, I'd have a hard time.
Yeah, Derek, and like, you know, John says, this is something that takes prayer. Are you part of a fellowship right now, a church?
No, not right now. I have been going to a Calvary Chapel, and I moved because I got a brother. He's autistic now, where he's been all his life, and he's 66. And I'm 74, and he just, I'm having a hard time with, you know, taking care of him. But I know it's wrong, and I just, my daughter, she loved me, but I done told her over and over, but you know, her friend gets, like, they get angry with me, and I don't throw it in their face, but I just can't, you know, I can't agree with them at all. But I've been going to, I just, you know, I'm having a hard time with my brother. He have tics and things, you know, and he's born again, but, you know, he's autistic, and people don't understand him all the time because he'll jerk in church or do some kind of, you know, facial. And it's very hard for me right now. And that's why I listen to y'all every Sunday, just about on the radio. But that's what I was praying about. I said, I just, Lord knows my heart don't really feel good about moving there. Because what if, you know, they're going to move out. And she said she was going to let me move in, my brother and I. So I'm wondering, if they change their mind and they come, and I still won't have anywhere to live. So I just ask y'all to pray for me, and I'm God's going to give me the right answer.
Amen.
You know, and it may very well be, you know, it sounds like God may be doing something here. You know, you may not have anywhere else to go but there. And if that is, then that's God's directioning for you. If God provides you another alternative, maybe that's the thing that you should do. But, you know, I find a lot of times that just letting God open and close the doors according to his will is a lot of times the way God directs us through this life. And, I the Bible says knock, seek, and ask. And if I'm knocking on a door and it doesn't open, I don't want to write my own Bible verse that says, behold, I stand at the door and pick the lock. I'll go to a different door and knock on it. And so I think that really, you know, God will make his way for you clear. And that's what we're going to pray about. Okay. Is that okay, Georgia?
Yes. Thank you.
Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for Georgia's heart. Thank you that she loves you. Lord, you direct her in this. This is so serious. We just pray for this situation, but we pray for her daughter and her friend as well, God, that you would do a miracle in their lives. And this may be part of the miracle that you want to do. And so, God, we just ask you to guide, and, Lord, that you would give people around Georgia that heart to have her be where exactly where you want her to be. Give her that boldness and that love in Jesus' name. Amen. Georgia, look for great things in your life, dear.
I sure will. And thank you, and God bless y'all, because I love CSN, and And I'm going to be giving more, too, because I've just been in a tight last few years.
Well,
God,
dear, I want to make sure.
Me, and you, I know it.
I want to make sure that you have a place to stay. And you know, if there's nowhere else you can go, then there, that might be God just saying, hey, this is where I want you to go. Now, if an alternative comes up, well, I, you know, somebody's offered me, I can stay with him for free, or I can go stay with my daughter. Well, then that's different. But if you have nowhere else to go, that might be just God saying, I'm going to interject you back into your daughter's life, into your, into this whole situation. And I believe, again, where you go, salt and light go. You make things tasty. You keep things from getting old. And you bring an answer to the darkness, dear. So we'll just trust and see what God will do, okay?
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much, and God bless you all.
Blessings to you, dear.
Bless you.
Let's go to Donna, Toledo, Ohio. Hi, welcome.
Good evening. So my question is, do you think that churches and schools and Bible colleges or seminaries should receive 501c3 status? The reason I ask is because my experience has been that when that has happened, that those organizations have found that they may have to compromise in their biblical standards.
What are your thoughts on that, John?
Well, I first of all, I have heard of those that would compromise on their standard. But I think that that's unfortunate. You know, the Bible does tell us that we're to preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us we're to preach the word because the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. The Bible tells us that the fear of man brings a snare. We also know from the scriptures that the Bible says in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 that we ought to obey God rather than man. So I won't compromise what the word of God says. And if the government comes and takes the 501c3, then so be it. I'm not going to stop preaching the word of God. And I think we have that in place as a nonprofit organization to benefit those who would support the work. And then they're able to receive something as a result of that. But I've been a 501c3, I mean, part of a church for over 30 years. And I've never ever thought about watering down what we're saying because the government's going to come and take something from us. I'm far more concerned about being loyal to God than about loyal to man and to make sure that I am compliant with heaven than I am with the government, especially as it relates to teaching the word of God. So it's unfortunate that colleges and so forth are watering down their stance. And I think that's a tragedy.
Yeah. And I believe that again, we have to be aware of what's going on. But again, I think, dear, that, you know, in a nonprofit organization, you have a lot of leeway to do what God's called us to do. I have not seen anything yet that prohibits what we do. John, same way with you. After 30 years, us after almost 50 years. I think that, you know, what God is doing is a good thing. Yeah. I think that we want to be aware because we don't hate anybody. We love everybody. But we also know that because you love somebody, you don't let them continue to do something that later in life they're going to regret that they did. If you say, well, you know, I really love my kids and I let them light the living room on fire and, you know, throw all the food in the refrigerator out in the street. And I just love my kids. No, you don't love them at all. If you loved them, you wouldn't let them do that because you realize that's not good for them. Well, what then is good and what is not good? Well, it isn't what I think or John thinks. It's what the Bible says God says is good. And that's what we have to go back to is God's standard, not our own. Because God knows a lot more about what holds societies and nations and cities and governments together than we do. And you violate those things, you find any nation will unravel. We often hear talk about, the nuclear family in America is disintegrating. That's the basis for your nation. And when that's gone, your nation simply dissolves. Any last thoughts, John?
Well, I just think, you know, we lived through something here in our state not too long ago where we were told you couldn't sing and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And I'll tell you, we were unwilling to bend, and we saw an absolute revival break out here in
Amen.
Our area. And that's a result, not of us, but of honoring God. God honors those that honor him. And you see it in the book of Acts. They said, listen, we can't help but preach this gospel, so we're not going to be swayed.
Amen. Donna, I hope that answers the question for you, and we are all out of time. If you like, stay in line, send you out a little book and DVD if you like. God of Wonders. And John, what a day it's been.
Been a great day, Mike. Thanks for
Amen.
Having me.
Amen. Look forward to being back with you. Thank you so much for being on CSN. John comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer here on the CSN radio stations. And so, again, till tomorrow, may the Lord keep you in his love. God bless you, and good night.
Please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us To Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.